You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Just something on my heart I had to sing. I hope they play this on the radio. Give me a chance to let somebody know that we can change the world. One boy, one girl.
Well, folks, we had this guy on our show a couple of years ago. Shane Claiborne is who's in the house. He's an author. He's a passive activist. He's a new monastic.
And a prosperity preacher.
And a prosperity preacher. The guy got a chance to hang out with Mother Teresa in Calcutta, so that gives him a whole lot of talking points. And he also worked with rich folks in Willow Creek. By the way, I went to Willow Creek one time.
Yeah.
I spent the entire time looking for Mike Singletary. I didn't listen to the message at all.
Did you find him?
No. You know how many black people go to that church? I thought it was going to be like, seriously, out in Crackerville, right? Like unsalted crackers, but there's like a mix of everybody there.
Yeah.
So I thought he was going to stand out, but he didn't stand out. I'm sorry
you were disappointed.
That guy's with the earpieces. It was pretty cool. But then the usher came up to me and said, sir, would you like your child to go? Because I took my son, who's like two. Would you like him to go to Sunday school, whatever? And I said, no, that's okay. He can stay here.
There's a lot of congregations that use those earpieces now. In fact, I was just talking to one guy. He said they had an ATM in the cathedral, so they had to have actually armed security guards for their offering. Yeah,
I know. I know that the armed security thing. Like, I know when I went to Benny Hinn's circus when it was in town, I got accosted by Bubba, who came up and said, because I was writing notes. They thought it was, well, I'm media. So
you tried to rob them.
They put me in the booster section. And I'm dressed like this. They're all jacked to Jesus, right? They got like Armani for God. And I stood out a little bit. And, of course, they were all standing worshiping with their, they were palm tanning at that point in time. And I was sitting down making notes. And Bubba came up and said, took his earpiece out. I said, what are you writing? What are you writing? I said, notes.
Yeah.
I said, all right. Just anyway, see the little buttstock right there, packing heat.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you get out of there with anything? Like, is that how you got the Drew Robin Hood Marshall name?
That would be so good. Well, you just give me a new idea for ministry. Rob from the Prosperity Preachers.
Give to the poor. Love it.
Anyway, Shane Claiborne's here. TheSimpleWay.org is a website that is quite nicely hooked up with him. He is here in town speaking at the 8th Letter Conference. Which is, if I get this right, there's seven letters to the seven churches, and then there's the 8th one. And if you were going to say your 15 minutes of whatever most pressing thing you wanted to say to the church now, what would you say? And that's what you're going to. That's why you're here, right?
Holy cow!
Did I get that right?
That was perfect. Yeah, it's a little intimidating, you know.
Seriously.
In my Bible, the Revelation, the seven letters, they're in red, indicating it was the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm hoping mine will be written in pencil. You know, but yeah.
Are you still sleeping with W above your bed?
Whoa! Boy, we're diving right into it, aren't we? No. No, actually, my house burned down, Drew. Thanks.
That's a little bit of
a tender spot.
Oh,
but,
man. But you had a life-size poster of W above your bunk.
Yeah, and I didn't. To be clear about this, no, my roommates thought it'd be a funny joke. So they hung it up while I was sleeping, woke up, and oh my gosh, there he is, you know. So.
Imagine that. Did you throw a shoe at him?
No, heavens. I left it there, you know, to remind me to pray for him each night. Help me rest a little bit more secure, too. So.
Shane Claiborne, are you better at stilt walking or unicycling?
Stilt walking, without a doubt. I mean, unicycling, I do, but stilt walking, I do more. So,
juggling or fire breathing?
Fire breathing.
So, juggling on a unicycle, you really suck at.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's tricky, you know.
Yeah. Are you related to Liz?
No.
Or Jane?
Would you stop with that? He does this all the time. We have a 4-hour show, and in the fourth hour, even now, he'll make references to things we talked about an hour and a half ago. And our listeners are going, what is wrong with him?
It's called comedy.
I don't know what that means.
It's called comedy. Watch Letterman. He keeps referring to stuff. He's doing okay.
Have you read The Alchemist yet?
Yes.
And?
Good book.
See, some Jesus people would be ticked that you read it. You wrote it. You read it.
Really?
Don't you think?
No. Really?
Yeah. It's all that's all like secrety kind of stuff, you know?
Oh man, is that true? It's like, am I going to be on blogs? You're going to be like the,
Yes, you're going to be like your Eckhart Tolle-ish thing.
Okay, it was an okay book.
That's the sound of shingling.
Backpedaling. There were parts I liked and parts I didn't.
There we go.
There
we go. What are you, in politics?
No.
What did you lose in the fire that you missed the most?
Ooh. Ah, man. I went back after.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get really deep on you there.
There were two things that I really... I mean, one of them actually is quite serious. When I was in Iraq, I picked up a piece of one of the bombs that had been dropped. So I went back into the fire, like after the fire, yeah, and found that. But there was one other thing, a little bit not as heavy, that when I was younger, I went gold mining out in a Utah abandoned gold mine, and I actually found some gold.
Ooh.
And I'd wrapped it up, and I went back in and found my gold.
You did?
Yeah, I won't tell you where it's hidden, but I still have
smile,
that.
Smile? Smile?
I don't really miss. The things that I miss are like, we had some beautiful murals that the kids had made, and they all burnt up, you know? But you know what? We can make more murals.
Well, yeah, you're a non-materialist monastic.
On
so
good
who
days.
Cares?
On good days.
Who cares? Seriously, your place burned down. Who cares?
Yeah.
Let's go to the extreme here, man.
No, seriously. I mean, you know, the thing is, this was a huge fire. 100 families were displaced.
Okay.
A dozen homes were down. Nobody was hurt. That's what we could think about, you know? So we got a park there now. It's pretty fun. I miss our house sometimes, but, you know, it's okay.
Okay. So our listeners who don't know you, I know you're tired of talking about this, so I'm going to do it in a kind of a weird way. He's got a look about him. He's got the dreads. He's got the hemp pants or whatever. And, you know, he's got no bling, and he's got the goatee, which is long.
It's fake.
Do you swear?
I try not to. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the last time.
Do you drink?
Actually, this morning, I said when I was preaching to the Lutherans this morning, I said a word.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. You gave them a word.
Yeah, well, I kind of slid it in, you know. Here's what I was doing, Drew. I was quoting another preacher who was talking about the donkey that rode Jesus in.
You said ass?
I said ass.
That's not swearing.
Yeah, I mean,
I live in the country. We have asses all over the place.
Okay. I live in the city. We do too.
Oh, that was quick. Said it before. What I'm trying to say is, how emergent are you? Because I know you hate that term. You hate it.
I don't know what it means.
Yeah, well, whatever. You're not supposed to know what it means. That's what part of being emergent means.
I am, I guess. You know, I it doesn't do much for me. Like,
because emergent people, they smoke cigars or pipes or eating cigarettes.
Is that what they do?
They drink. They drink. They swear.
Really?
Yeah. Haven't you heard Mark Driscoll?
Oh, yeah, I know Mark.
He's your buddy.
I did actually ask him on the phone not long ago to come to dinner next time he's in Philly.
Paul Young asked him to meet as well, to have some mediation.
I've known him for 10 years, yeah. We had some good conversations.
He won't
I quoted him in my Jesus book.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What's post-emergent look like?
Are these trick questions?
Yeah.
I am interested
because you're a sociologist at heart. You understand cultural nuances. You get the vibe you're in, and you know where the vibe has come from. So I'm asking you, what do you think's next? Whatever label you want to put on it, what's next? What are we? Because we're in it, whatever it is. We can't describe it until we're about halfway through it.
Well, for one, I think that the future of the church is going to be built on looking behind us too. You know, we got like the early church is fascinating to me, and that's what was really the catalyst for our community. Because here's a group of people, they share everything they have. There's no needy persons among them. You know, they're like living the life, and that's it's beautiful. So, a big part of what we're doing right now is trying to remember our history. You know, because I think that you hear a lot of this new. This new language, even like, you know, Creflo watching that in here. I love John Wesley, and I grew up Methodist, and Wesley said, when I have money in my hands, I get it out of my hands as quick as I can, lest it make its way into my heart. You know, I love that. Oh gosh. So I think part of what I want to do is look back and see where the church has been healthiest and try to reimagine what that looks like. But it's nothing brand new. I think that's happened over and over throughout the centuries.
But we are in sort of a weird, bizarre state. Don't you think this church is in a state of flux?
Yeah, I think that anyone studying the studies that are out there and stuff, the church is in critical shape. I mean, it's sort of in intensive care, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that in a lot of ways we're poised for a renewal, because there are also people that are deeply concerned about the patterns of the world that we live in. They're asking great questions, and I think the gospel is as relevant now as it was 2,000 years ago.
Do you think there will be a cultural rebound from too much grace? I worry about. See, I have this internal commentary in my head that goes, "Okay, I know God's forgiving, but it can't be that forgiving. Too much grace can't be good for us. Can't be, man."
Yeah, I don't know. Having too much grace sounds like having too many flowers. You know, like I think
you are
think,
such a stinking hippie. Can you cue
really
the Partridge Family for us, please, when we go out of this? Yeah, sorry.
Is that true? I think that's like what was magnetizing about Jesus. Was plenty of people had seen self-righteous Christian religious elites, you know, and yet Jesus was singing a different song, and it was a song of grace. It was a song that, like, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom ahead of religious folks.
Yeah, but once they get in there, they need to change.
Well, I think that you know, everybody, we've all got stuff that we need to let go of, and we're becoming a new creation. But the cool thing about Jesus is, like, at the dinner table, there's enough room for a tax collector and a zealot. Huh. And that's incredibly beautiful, I think, especially in the world we live in. It's totally polarized in the political camps and that kind of junk.
Okay, we got to talk about this, because you're on a bit of a love fest, right? And one thing that concerns me is the guy that sits across from the desk from me here, this other bald guy. Mm. We got an email from one of our listeners that said this about him. "Unfortunately, I had to turn your show off Saturday, Drew, because I was so upset with your sidekick, Jim." His name's actually Tim.
Mm-hmm.
His remarks about praying to Allah. "Just as Daniel refused to pray to any person or oppose God and ended up in the lion's den, I cannot believe that a Christian would say it's all right to pray to anyone other than the Father. He's also wrong that Allah is the same God as Jesus' Father. Here's an article describing blah, 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 blah." So, talk about being lukewarm in the church. Tim is leading people down a dangerous path. Tim, in your defense?
Well, I think Jim is an idiot. First and foremost, I looked up that article,
yeah,
and it focused a lot on stuff like, you know, what the name Allah means. Apparently the root is like to worship idol and all this kind of stuff. My understanding from studying world religions is that, you know, if we go back to Judaism, and of course I'm getting all the fathers of the church. Who's the one that had Sarah and, why am I drawing a blank here? She was infertile for years and years and years. Sarah's husband. Abraham, yes. And he had...
Couldn't it be Abraham? That's like the most obvious answer.
Yeah, sorry, but he had sex with the slave woman, right?
Enoch.
And according to the tradition of Islam, it was the slave woman's son that eventually became the
Why are you giving us so much context?
Of
do you
Iraq.
Pray, do you yeah, pray to Allah?
No, I don't pray to Allah.
Then you, why did you say it was okay to pray to Allah?
I said it wasn't a big deal for my kid to pray in a mosque. The person completely misquoted me. And according to tradition, in fact, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity are connected. They're considered brothers and sisters of the same faith.
So do you think we're all worshiping the same God? Are you getting all Cat Stevens on us here?
No, I'm not getting Muhammad Bujibara on you. I'm just...
What?
He's got a new name, and I don't know what the name
of
his name
sorry.
Is. Right. I think that it is wrong for us to go and freak out that these... I was just trying to say I think it's wrong for someone to sue someone for their kid praying in a mosque.
So what I'm trying to get around to here with Shane Claiborne being in the studio is Brian McLaren, his book up there, Tim Miller...
Are you going to burn that?
And... and you see, some of you folks, like, what's that, the Lighthouse, there's some fine Bereans out there that put all you guys in the same camp. They put you know, they like to set you on fire, put you in the same corner. They've done that time and time again, although you seem to escape all that stuff because you're so daggum passive. But if you got all riled up about the same kind of stuff that McLaren and Campolo get into, Maybe you get burned too.
So they can't see me coming.
Yes.
So she has no hair.
Do we have to worry about this? Are we getting wimpy and weak with their theology? Are we illiterate Christians who are being deceived and we've bought into a world of heresy?
I think what we got to be careful of, Drew, is not to buy the emerging church. And emergent has been a container where you can put anybody who's young who has any fresh ideas. You put them there and then you write them off and you don't have to listen to them.
Right. That's just
matter.
As wrong.
It doesn't matter if it's Mark Driscoll, Rob Bell, whoever. Yeah. If they kind of look young and they're thinking about what it means to be Christian today, then they're emergent. Right. And we don't need to listen to them. Like, we need to listen to people with gray hair. Right. You know, especially not bald people. You know, like so I think that's the danger.
Yeah.
Because then what you end up is with a label for that's a container for something you don't even know what it is. You know, like there's no real grain that I can see to emerging church or emergent. What I get excited about is people who love Jesus and want to connect the Bible with the world that we live in today.
Okay, so you remind me of Creed when they were trying for years to tell everybody, no, we're not a Christian band for the 4,000th time. Here you are going, stop with the freaking labels. Emergent. I can't even spell it. So don't try to put me in that box. Right? Mm-hmm. Is this what you're saying? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that there are labels that are helpful when it's not a brand, but like for instance, new monasticism. That's not a phrase I go around throwing around. You know, in my neighborhood, if I'm like, we're a new monastic community, yeah, they'd be like, I know you're kind of nasty, but what are you talking about?
Yeah,
you know,
do you have that on your Labalite profile?
No, but you know, but what I think we can see as we look through history is that there are these renewals that happen over and over. Monastic renewals, desert, like there's something that happens. Reformations happen in the church. And so like we shouldn't be too surprised that something new is bringing the church to life again.
No iPod, no MP3, no television. Why?
Who said that?
You.
Oh, no. I let me show you something right here.
Do you have a cell phone? No, you got a cell. Oh, he's got an iPhone. You got the 4 or whatever it is.
I think technology is.
Can I see it, please?
No, Tim.
Oh, sorry.
I think technology is
evil.
It's like, no. I think like anything, it can be a good tool, but we can also become its tool. You know, like our possessions can. Like we can have possessions, or we can be possessed by the things that we own. You know.
So what's the answer to the prosperity doctrine movement then?
Wow, we're just all over the world. The prosperity thing, I think, is like a different. That's a bizarre thing.
Okay,
I mean,
but
that doesn't have anything to do with technology.
No,
you know,
but, like, no, you're like, right. But we're talking about materialism and owning stuff and all this kind of deal. And part of your shtick is you know, simple life, simple way, and all that kind of stuff, yeah. Right? So. Do you? I mean, I get angry at that stuff, but you're the Mr. Kumbaya. You're not allowed to get angry at anything, right?
I've never been called that. That was great. I think that what we get to do is to preach a better sermon. Like, we get to proclaim a better gospel. If you hear a bad song, like, I want to sing a better song. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not. I can care less whether they get charged with fraud. You know, is very interesting though. Here's what's interesting is going, man, why are they asking me for money? You know, like why are they selling their books? Have you ever, I mean, don't you wonder that? Like, if you've got, like, why don't you just give your books away? It's the same way with the people that are going to end the world. You know, the world's about to end. So why are you selling your book, man? Just give it away, you know?
Yeah.
And then they write a sequel, you know? But I think personally, I think a good answer to the televangelists is they should do what happened in middle school to me. They should have to talk to my mom, because I ended up hearing Bob Tilton, and I was home, and he said, you know, if you give me $1,000, you'll get 100-fold. I'm like, dude, that is tons of money.
It's better than going to
never
track.
Have to work again.
Yeah.
You know, and so I started sending him money, you know, and then I got all these things in the mail. My mom was like, are you giving him money? And you know, I can't lie to my mom. She picks up the phone and she's like, let me talk to Bob Tilton, and bless his heart. I mean, I felt sorry.
Your mother ripped Bob Tilton the new one?
Oh, my. I mean, this is before he went to jail. But, you know, like I'm telling you, it was something else.
That's where he got ripped the new one. Okay. So the Pentecostals, do they book you for speaking gigs?
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm got some Pentecostal in me, man. Like, I got it. I think there's something to the fire and the passion of Pentecostals that the rest of the church needs.
Yeah. Yeah,
this out. There is a group of folks called the Pentecostal Charismatic
Catholics.
Peace Fellowship.
Oh, okay. Are they Catholics?
Pentecostal Charismatic Peace Fellowship. It's Pentecostals committed to peace and nonviolence.
That's scary.
Yeah. So I mean, I love those groups.
Should we all be poor? Materialistically,
I think that God has created enough stuff for everyone. Gandhi was right when he said there's enough for everyone's need, but there's not enough for everyone's greed.
Right.
So I really love what Proverbs says. Give me neither poverty nor riches, for in my poverty I could be forced to steal, or in my riches I could forget my God. And I really long for us all to have enough. And I think that's what Jesus is teaching us when he tells us to pray that our daily bread, you know, that we would each have enough for this day.
How do you think, Shane, being an only child has played a factor into who you are, why you do what you do, maybe why you're single?
Oh, I don't know. I you know, I never really thought about that. I grew up...
You're still single, right?
I'm not married. I'm dating someone.
You are? Because didn't you... broke up with someone in March. Or
breaking news on Joy 1250.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first.
I think I'm going to get married.
Shut up!
Yeah. Oh, I love her. Great girl.
Didn't you say that about the last 10 girlfriends, though?
Can I come on the... Yeah. No. So, anyway...
Apparently, we need to take a break here, folks.
Okay, go to a commercial. I've been dating a lovely woman for, you know, the last 3 years, and we'll see where that's headed. I think that we'll probably get married, though. And I've never felt a particular call or vocation of singleness. I've certainly loved the gift that singleness has been to me.
How old are you?
I'm 35.
Right.
Yeah.
35.
So, but anyway, you know, I don't know. Being an only child, I'm a mama's boy. My dad died when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, mom, that's why it definitely goes into my clothing, my attire.
Why?
I sew with my mom. I think she wanted a girl, but I'm like, dude, I'll do the best I can.
You really do make your own clothes.
Yeah, mom and I sew together.
Because I make fun of homeschoolers all the time and how they grow their own clothes and stuff.
Oh, take it easy on the homeschoolers.
Should I?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. But, you know, I think that probably all... But I've learned to fish and do a little hunting, things like that. So,
where did you come from? Because you're still a pretty young guy, right? And you've been given quite a platform along with some pretty intense recognition, right? Has it messed you up at all?
Community keeps you pretty grounded, you know?
Aren't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why, you know, I've got a buddy here traveling with me, and when you tell a story, and you're like, and then we raised 3 people from the dead! And they're like, no, it was only 2. I think that, like, but literally, like, it keeps us honest, and it also, to me, it protects us from ourselves. So I'm grateful to have people around me that ask me hard questions.
Were you quoting Bonnke there?
Who?
Reinhard Bonnke?
Mm-mm.
Never heard of that guy?
No, tell me.
Dude, with a name like that? Seriously? He's part of that raised a guy from the dead in Africa story deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's his deal. Just thought you were quoting him. Hey, what don't you believe now that you used to believe when you're an East Tennessee and Fundy? Remember?
Wow. Yeah.
Think back. Think way back.
The Confederate flag is a high school symbol. I went to my high school was the Maryville Rebels, and the Confederate flag was our, like, what do you call it? Mascot. Whatever. Like, but I, when I came to school in Eastern and had, you know, African-American friends, and they saw my yearbook on the counter, they're like, whoa, brother, not sure where you're from, but that's not cool. But I don't know. There's so many things that
But you weren't a redneck. You weren't, like, you didn't have your engine block in the front yard, did you?
No, but I certainly was infected with a lot of things that I think the South has beautiful things.
Were you racist?
If I was, I didn't know it.
Yeah.
But I think I learned a lot of the history and the legacy that race has been. I mean, I just went home to Tennessee this month.
Yeah.
And they have this thing called Old Timers Weekend.
Right.
Where, like, people come out of the woodwork and out of the hills and play bluegrass music on the old cabins. Oh, man, it's fun. It's every September.
Does someone squeal like a pig?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have a greased pig thing. Honest to goodness. But then, I look around. I'm like, every single person here is white.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that, like, there's a lot of beautiful things, you know, about Southern hospitality, but also there's a chance of going, oh man, it's hospitality as long as you look like me. And so I think all of that stuff is, we got to celebrate what's good and correct what's wrong.
Your dad fought in Vietnam?
Yes.
How would he feel about you
being a hippie? He was drafted because he dropped out of college. Huh?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How would he feel about you being a hippie?
I'm not a hippie.
Dude, look around.
No, honest to goodness, I think that there's a lot of things about the 60s and 70s that we got right, and there's a heck of a lot of things that we got wrong.
Sure, but you're a pacifist, and he was in the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Did he come back a pacifist?
I can't say what my dad would say. I'd say my mom this last week, she said, if your dad was alive, he'd be really proud of you. And
that works.
Oh, I don't know. It's good enough. My dad was a crazy dude, though. He had a huge afro. I mean, he didn't really, like, stand out as your typical soldier. He had a huge afro, and he used to hide candy in it and let the kids, like, dive in. But that's how big it was.
Your dad was Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah. Keep it on the down low.
You must be loving having the Obama in the house.
Obama?
Yeah. You must be loving that.
Well, I must have been away that weekend.
No, because isn't he Mr. Social Justice, and he's a brother from another mother, and he worked with the peeps, right, in Chicago, the little peeps, and his peeps from the streets?
I think there's a lot of things that Obama's done well and some things he could work on, you know, and I'm thankful for some of the things he's doing around trying to dismantle nuclear weapons. I think that we still have a lot of work to do to, and I don't think he's a messiah. You know, in my neighborhood, like, there was a genuine sense of joy at having someone that looked like them and someone that might understand them in the White House. But there was also a vulnerability that this is going to change the world. Or, like, you know, when you have posters that have Obama's picture with hope on it, we're in danger. You know, so I think because we're in danger of misplaced hope. And I think that's one of the deepest anxieties, you know, about the current situation.
Okay, folks, Shane Claiborne is who we are chatting with right now. And Shane, as I said this before, you're all about this love stuff, right? About love. All we need is love. Are there boundaries to love, though? Rules to love? Like, do you love same-sex marriages? Are you thrilled about that? How do you feel about that?
Well, when it comes to the gay issue, I think Billy Graham was right on target. And this is what he said. It's God's job to judge, the Spirit's job to convict, and my job to love. And I do think that our role in God's kingdom is to love people into God's grace. And I think that we haven't done a great job at that. We should be magnetizing the very people that Jesus magnetized. And if anybody's ticked off, it should be the same people that were ticked off at Jesus. And frankly, like, the people that were fascinated by Jesus were people on the margins, people that were burnt out by religion, people that were shunned, ostracized, and the people that were ticked were the religious elite and the self-righteous that looked down on other people.
Okay, but if you were asked to vote for or against same-sex marriage, what would you do? Abstain?
I would say that in one sense, I don't think that the big problems of the day are solved by voting. I think, in a sense, we vote every single day by who we have relationships with, how we live. But
you know, it sounds like you're weaseling out of the question.
I am weaseling out of the question. I do think that gay and lesbian people should have rights in civil society. I mean, here's a good example. Like, I'm not going to vote for divorce. You know, I don't think that divorce is ideal. I'm sure not going to, like, try to pass into law something that robs divorced and remarried people from their rights or something like that, you know?
To change gears tremendously, which is what you do when you have ADD, I find it ironic that you have spit phobia, yet you hang out with a guy who, when he gets really passionate about something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's missile launch time. Like, I've seen spit fly out of this guy's mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who we're talking about?
For 4 years. Yeah.
You know who we're talking about? Doesn't that creep you out? You're a spit phobia guy. You hang out with Tony Campolo.
I studied sociology under Tony, but I always sat in the back row. Yeah.
It's like when I go to Stratford and they do Macbeth. The guy who plays Macbeth just horked. He does a Gallagher thing. The first four rows need to have sheets, plastic sheets all over them.
Yeah.
How much do you like Tony Campolo? Do you ever disagree? Do you ever get up in each other's grill about stuff?
Oh, Tony, yeah.
What's the last thing that you said to Tony that you thought, oh, I got him? You got in your face. Hey? You walked away your mother.
Oh, man.
Come on, you got into it.
We disagreed on how to handle the election, or Obama, I think.
Right.
I mean, Tony's on the Democratic platform, and so we, you know, we.
And you're not? No. You're not as hippie as I thought you were.
So, I can't remember exactly how it went, but I think that's certainly one of the great debates that we had, is how to handle that.
Folks, I'd like to introduce at this particular point in time our very special guest, Tony Campolo, on the line. Tony, this is Shane Claiborne and Drew Marshall. How are you?
Hey. fine. I'm doing fine. I'm proud of Shane.
Are you?
I mean, he spoke with eloquence, with conviction. He's got his head screwed on right. I feel like, hey, my life is not a complete waste. I taught Shane Claiborne, and when I get to heaven and they don't want to let me in, I'll say, if you don't let me in, Shane will be angry because he's my friend. So it's on his friendship that I enter through the gates and I'm received into the heavenly assembly.
Oh, we're all in big trouble.
I thought you were going to say, like, he was
absolutely right. We did disagree. Shane has very little confidence, as you may have picked out, on the political process as the way of changing the world. The reality is, he sees that politics can be good and politics can be bad, but that's not what's going to change the world. His main emphasis is, it's the Christians living a countercultural lifestyle, standing opposed to the dominant values of the culture, which is largely materialistic consumerism, and living the life that Jesus called us to live in the red letters of the Bible, that will change the world. That's the way Jesus changed the world. The first 200 years of Christianity, 300 years of Christianity, they had no political power, they didn't vote, and yet they were changing the world. And Shane wants to see the world changed again the way they did in the days of the early church.
Well, there you go. I just introduced Tony Campolo. Wow. Tony, this is your 17th time on our show. We appreciate it very, very much.
Okay.
One of the reasons you're... No, it's not. I think it's your fourth or something. One of the reasons you're on our show is to say hello to Shane. When was the last time you guys hung out with each other? Last week? Like, is it regular?
We get together about once a month, and I will see him. Shane, just in case you forgot, I got an appointment with you next week at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
I can't wait.
Don't be late. Because he comes out... You know, the guy's consistent. He lives in the city, which is 20 miles away from where my office is. He'll come out on his bicycle because he doesn't want to pollute the atmosphere. But he walks into my office, and he smells so bad that he pollutes the whole atmosphere there. So, you know, I don't know which is better, to throw some carbon in the air or BO all over my office. But remember, I'll see you next week.
I'll see you then.
Oh, man. Well, Tony, you are actually coming up to this neck of the woods next week. Believe it or not, I don't know whether you realize you signed up for this. You will be sitting in this very same seat that Shane is in right now.
Do you have him strapped in?
Yes, we do.
Because I know he would have walked out on the last couple of questions if he wasn't strapped in.
Oh, man. So you are coming up, and you're going to be a special guest at the New Direction Ministries Relevant Engagement. Here's their catchphrase, a nurturing, hospitable space where faith and sexuality meet. Excuse me?
Wow.
Excuse me? What does that mean?
I have no idea. I know what I'm going to say, but I don't know what they have in mind.
So, if I understand...
You know, you accuse Shane of evading a question.
Yes.
Exactly. That's exactly what he should have done. If you go to the New Testament, time and time again, Jesus evades questions by raising questions. For instance, when they hold up a coin and they say, should you pay taxes? Should you support the state? Jesus evades the question. He says, whose image is on there? And they say, well, it's Caesar's. Then he says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. Now, what kind of answer is that? The answer is, you have to decide whether you want to pay your taxes or whether you don't want to pay your taxes, whether you want to support Caesar or whether you don't. I'm not going to answer the question and tell you what to do. You have to decide for yourself. Shane did brilliantly when he evaded the question because he throws the question back to you. You haven't answered it, Drew. Should you support gay marriage? Yes or no, and don't evade the issue. And when it came to Proposition 8, if you lived in California, would you vote for it or against it? That's what Jesus would have done. He would have evaded the question and thrown the question back at you. How are you going to answer? Silence. We got him.
This program does not necessarily reflect the views of Joy 1250.
There you go. That is my answer right
there. There you go. See? There you go.
Okay, you're coming up talking to this group who helps the Jesus people try to figure out the gay stuff, basically. You're trying to help bridge the gap between the church community and the gay community. Why are you so vested in that dialogue?
Well, I'm not vested in that dialogue. The reality is that I don't want to talk about the issue, but everybody around me in the Christian community seems to be preoccupied with this.
Right.
Every time a denomination meets, whether it's the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Anglicans, all they talk about is this stuff. And the reality is, as Shane and I will agree, if you go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read what Jesus says, he doesn't say anything about this. I mean, it's an issue, and I'm a conservative on the issue. Having said that I am conservative on this issue, I want to say, is the church becoming preoccupied with something that is not on Jesus' Big Ten hit list when it comes to sins? Number one on his hit list were Pharisees who, in fact, I'm quoting Jesus here, who laid heavy burdens on people but did nothing to lift that burden. This is the issue. Does the church judge people who lay burdens on people but doesn't do much to make life better for them? We want to be the compassionate people. But in answer to the question, how do we do this? That's what I want to deal with when I'm with this gang up there in Toronto. But I have to say, Jesus spoke over and over and over again about responding to the needs of the poor. Could it be that the church that does not want to meet the needs of the poor escapes the question as though he's a talk host on radio? Is the church playing like Drew is playing and evades the issue and says, let's talk about gays. We don't want to talk about the poor, because when it comes to living life for the poor, we're not doing it. We spend more money on stained glass windows than we do on the needs of the hungry. We spend more money on new church organs than we do on binding up the wounds of those that are emotionally scarred on the streets as homeless people. We spend all the money that we have in ways that Jesus wouldn't, so we'll not talk about poverty, we'll talk about gays. Yes, I'm a conservative, but are we preoccupied with that which Jesus did not find a preoccupying theme?
Okay, then.
Did I get them for you, Shane?
Can you tell us how you really feel?
Shane, all I heard before that was, sick 'em, Tony. That's what Shane just said.
Well, it's about time that we recognize, and I'm going to, the old-time evangelical red-letter Christian, that Jesus wanted us to go out and love the lost, to reach out to those who needed to hear the story of salvation. We needed to reach out and feed the hungry, clothe the naked. We needed to stand opposed to violence. You heard him say that he was a nonviolent resister, biblical as they can be. You can't read the Sermon on the Mount and not agree with Shane. There it is. And so, these are the things that we ought to be concerned about.
Okay.
These are the issues.
All right, 6:30, October 9th, that's next Saturday, 6:30 at King's Christian Collegiate here in Oakville. It's the New Direction Ministries presenting Relevant Engagement 2010 with Dr. Tony Campolo. I don't know why I'm talking like I'm from Chicago all of a sudden. Tickets are $50.
Is that right? Are they charging for this thing?
Oh, yeah, because it's a fundraiser there, Tony. It's a fundraiser.
Oh, okay,
raiser.
That's okay. If they're raising money for a good cause, that's fine.
That's right. And let me just be serious about this for a second. I have met, I don't think any other organization like this. I'm sure there are, but I just have not hooked up to an organization like this one. They really are putting a serious effort into the mandate of bridging the gap between the gay community and the church. And who else is doing that? Your wife?
My wife? Shane? There's a lot of us out there. There's a whole movement called Red Letter Christians, where we are saying, look, let's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and as the scripture says, and then we'll take care of these other things. We're out there saying what people need to see when they look at us is people who are filled with compassion, who when we do deal with issues like the gay marriage issue, we do it with tears in our eyes instead of a judgmental, negative attitude. That's what they're looking for, and there's a lot of us out there now. Those who hold the microphone in the United States don't think like we do, but there's a lot of people who are under the radar who are very much the way we are.
Tony Campolo, again, will be showing up next Saturday here in the Oakville area, King's Christian Collegiate, 6:30 p.m. If you're interested in participating in that night, a bit of a fundraiser for this outfit, newdirection.ca, that's the website, New Direction, that's new, direction.ca, not the other one, 416-318-7163, or get a hold of us through our website, drewmarshall.ca. We'll point you in the right direction. Shane, you're going to be out of here soon, so what do you got to say about all this?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I love that Tony said is how so much of our language is bankrupt. You know, and we have these cliches like hate the sin, love the sinner. And one of the things I've heard Tony say is Jesus never says hate the sin, love the sinner. Jesus says love the sinner and hate the sin that's in you.
Yeah, hate your own sin.
And I think that's where we've really gone wrong is we're pointing the finger at other people, you know. And like with the situation right now with a pastor in Atlanta, Eddie Long, with Ted Haggard, head of the NAA, like part of what happened is that people get frustrated when they see folks that have pointed fingers at other people and talked about gay and lesbian folks, and then they get exposed for doing something, and they don't expect us to be perfect, but they do expect us to be honest. And the problem is that we've often been dishonest with our own struggles, our own pain, and it leaves the impression that you got to be perfect to be a Christian, which is exactly different from what Jesus said, that it came for not the perfect people, but for the hurting.
Well said. Shane Claiborne, thank you for joining us. He's off to the 8th Letter Conference as we speak, heading down the road, down the highway. We may or may not see him later tonight, depending if he's coming out with the people who drink. All right, short break. When we come back, we've got our next guest. Dion Oxford, he is the founding director of the Salvation Army Gateway here in Toronto. He was diagnosed with MS 13 years ago. Recently, though, he made a trip to Costa Rica to participate in a new controversial treatment for MS. In the meantime, Dion is still committed to journeying alongside people in the margins of society. He is the founding director of a shelter for men experiencing homelessness. You want to talk homelessness? We'll talk about homelessness next with Dion Oxford. Stay with us.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca. Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us, one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy 1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.